Happy Easter again, everyone. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Every time you've gotten it. This is a day when churches around the world declare resurrection for Jesus and for us. It's such a happy day, but it's a tricky one because to talk about rising from the dead, we actually have to talk about death. See what I mean? Kind of tricky. Does it have to take away from the joy of the day? I don't think so. And I have a quick story for you. There was once a father and his young son who went out for a drive, and they passed by a cemetery where they saw a newly dug grave. So they saw a big pile of dirt right by this grave, and the boy looked intently at the pile of dirt. He got all excited, and he pointed, and he said, "Look, Dad, one got out." Yes, friends, one did get out. So it doesn't take away from the joy of the day. Jesus did get out. That's what we celebrate on Easter, and really every day, that we worship a God who made it so that death could not hold Jesus. But let's unpack that a bit, and let's use our Easter story this morning to do it. This particular Easter story in John has one of my all-time favorite biblical characters, Mary Magdalene. A fellow pastor who I admire, she calls Mary Magdalene the patron saint of showing up. Because Mary was always there. It's easy to miss it, but she was always there. When Jesus was suffering on the cross and when he died, she was there. She never ran away. And she is the only person that all the four Gospels say showed up at his empty tomb. Even after the other disciples went home and some of them continued mourning, she is still there. Now, no doubt she is scared and miserable with grief, but she is there. And because she shows up, she is the one to encounter this miraculous moment where she meets Jesus in person, alive again. And when she meets Jesus, he has questions for her. Questions that I think he asks all of us today. The first question that Jesus asks Mary is simple. He says, "Why are you weeping?" Remember, when he asked her this, she did not recognize him yet. She had come there, the story says, while it was still dark. She probably had not slept all night. She'd just gone through some of the worst couple of days of her life, watching her dear friend be betrayed and killed. And she had no reason to think that she'd be doing anything that day but visiting a gravesite. Now, if any of you were sad in a cemetery and someone who looked like a gardener came up to you and asked, "Why are you weeping?" wouldn't you be tempted to kind of say, "What do you think?" Right? This is a sad place. I'm visiting my friend who died. She was in deep pain. She probably felt like nothing would ever get better again. But then Jesus has another question for her. He asks her, "Who are you looking for?" See, Jesus knew that all of his disciples were individuals with their own stories, their own fears, their own obstacles to real faith. He knew that all of them had come to him looking for different things. He knows that we're all here too, looking for different things. Maybe some of us are here this morning because we're wanting to please someone that we love. Maybe we're here because we feel something missing in our lives. Maybe we're here because we just love the joy of Easter. We want to believe in new life. Whatever it is, either way, Jesus asks Mary and he asks us about our pain. And then he asks us what or who we are looking for. Do not worry if you come here this morning and you feel like your faith is not a very inspirational, Easter-y faith, if you feel like it's faltering a bit. Like I said, Mary Magdalene did not come to the tomb expecting resurrection, but she got it anyway. That is the grace that we've been talking about here week after week during this season. We have been exploring as a church the beautiful, simple theme of grace as the message of the Protestant Reformation, turning 500 this year. And that Reformation has endless pages of history and theology. But it all comes down to grace that has the power to make us live. Grace that makes all of our hard work, all the church's hard work, meaningless in the face of Jesus' work for us. Jesus' work of living and dying in this world and then rising again. That's the work of grace we're talking about. But I know sometimes that grace seems hidden to us. Sometimes we don't understand that grace. Most times, any one of us on any given day, we're looking and searching and chasing so hard after other things in life. So hard that grace actually has to find us. We're not looking for it. In this story, Mary didn't find Jesus. He found her. God's grace is one that seeks us out and then calls us by name. Jesus asked all these questions of Mary, and still she didn't know it was him. She didn't know it was him until he said, Mary, when he called her by her name. That's all it took to help her see that death had not held her friend. He got out. She was overjoyed. And when she realized who he was, what was happening, she did something that probably any one of us would do if we lost someone dear and we got to see them again. She embraced him and wanted to never let him go ever again. But he told her gently not to cling to him. Do not hold on to me, he said. Pain hurts us so badly in this world that when the good times come, we are tempted to cling to them, to manipulate them, to do anything it takes not to ever have to face hard times again. But Jesus tells us not to do that. We are not the ones in control of this new life. We are not the ones in control of the salvation being offered to the world through Easter. Jesus is on the loose now. He got out. And he has things to do, like to help all of us get out of the graves that we've been living in. He's out there in the world, moving and working and changing hearts. So we cannot cling to him because our work is to join him, to be about the business of offering this new life to others. We all are called by name too. We're all called out of the safe, comfortable places that maybe have become like graves for us, keeping us from new life that's fuller and deeper and scarier and better than we could ever imagine, than we could ever plan for ourselves. The world really needs this new life, and it needs to hear about it from us, because we know we do not live in an Easter world. We live in a Good Friday world. We live in a world where cities like San Bernardino experience multiple shootings in 2 years. We live in a world where terrorism is no longer some faraway threat, but we see it every day in our headlines. We live in a world where the eight richest people, own more wealth than 50% of the poorest people everywhere. That kind of world is a Good Friday world. And it's hurting, and it needs more than just a message of candy and baskets and Easter bunnies. It needs new life. There's a really great children's book that I just ordered this week from Amazon called Adam and Eve's First Sunset. And it imagines what it would have been like to be some of the very first people ever created, and then to watch the sun go down for the first time. Think about it. If you didn't know what was happening, how terrifying that would be. They didn't know if it would ever come back up, or if the world would just be dark from here on out. Now, of course, we know the sun does come up again with every new day. But in our spirits, maybe some of us or people we know really feel that kind of fear, that sense that it's getting dark, and it may never get light again. And yet we're here, we're showing up with just that tiny seed of hope that God sees this hurting world as worth saving from itself, from all that pain and brokenness. He's not going to let that win the day. Resurrection is the end of the story, not death. That means that new life wins. New life wins. So what does that new life look like for us? Well, you may not be able to answer that question of what does new life look like for you until you can honestly answer the other questions that Jesus asked. Why are you weeping? And what are you looking for? Most of us today probably don't think about death all that much. Maybe as we get older, we start to think about it a little bit more. But for the most part, with any one of us, it is our real lives that concern us and stress us and worry us, not the threat of death. It's our real lives. And so it is the real problems and dilemmas of life where we need resurrection, where we need new life now, during life, not just after life. If any of you went to the sunrise service this morning, you heard Pastor Chris say, "Thank God we have the promise of life after death." But we need to know that resurrection is active now. Easter happens now, precisely in the places of pain and stuckness and uncertainty. Easter can happen in the hospital waiting room or in the sleepless night, or in the moments where we cannot hold back our tears. When we're in those life moments, when we see how powerless we are, that is where the power of God is able to break through and make things new, when we need it most, where we can't do it on our own. And we need to learn to trust God and each other with the things that cause us pain and fear, because until we do that, we can never fully experience that unconditional love and grace that we're talking about this morning. That is the love that raised Jesus from the dead and met each one of his followers alive again, one by one, the way they needed to meet him. When you believe in that kind of love, that deep love, you'll begin to see everything differently. You will no longer look at a tough situation and think, "That is hopeless." You'll no longer see yourself as never good enough. You'll no longer judge others from a place of resentment. Maybe you'll begin to see that God's work is continuing and he's not done with any of us yet. That's resurrection. He's not done with any of us. And I say all this to you knowing that God has a lot more work to do on me too, every one of us. We're talking about a God who was tired of human beings making him into their own image, using him as an excuse to demean or abuse other people. A God that so wanted us to know him that he became one of us. And not just one of us in the middle class or the influential sphere of life. He became one of the poorest and humblest of us all. This is a God who loved his friends even when they didn't have the strength to love him back. A God who would rather die than watch us continue to kill ourselves trying so hard to be perfect. A God who rose to new life looking like a gardener with dirt still under his fingernails. That is the God who is looking for each of you this morning. No matter what you're looking for, will you let him find you? I pray that you will. Have a blessed Easter. Amen.